Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Poppy Smith was born in England. She grew up there and in Sri Lanka, Singapore, and Kenya. She's the author of 3 books, and she is with us today, and we're going to talk about her book, I'm Too Young to Be This Old. Poppy, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, I wrote it because I saw a lot of women who got to 40s, 50s, or when their children were grown, and really wondered who they were and what they had to offer, and maybe just sort of hoping that their kids would marry soon, young, and have children so that they could be grandmothers. And it just really bothered me because I thought God has poured into every person life experiences, knowledge of himself, if we've walked with the Lord, things that God wants to use. And so I look at the middle years, whether it's 40s, 50s, as a time to pivot, a time to look back and reassess, you know, who am I? What have I learned? What have I learned from the tough things in life and what talents and gifts and experiences I have? And then to really take some time to think about where do I want to invest the rest of my life, as long as I've got my mind working.
Yeah.
You know, how can I maximize what God has put into me for the future?
You know, right at the beginning of your book here on page 14, I really was captivated by these list of whys that you suggest to happen. And it's really true. To our listeners, let me read them. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And why am I staying in this marriage, this friendship, or this job?
Yes.
Why am I doing this for my church? Why am I doing this for my kids? And why aren't I receiving any satisfaction or support? And these are very real questions.
Well, they are. And I think anyone who has a little bent towards reflection, you know, thinks about them. I mean, we need to. We've only got one life. And you don't want to race through just in a very shallow way and, you know, get to the end of your life, so to speak, and think, you know, I wish I'd thought a little more deeply about what I wanted my life to amount to.
But sometimes these questions, if not responded to in a proper way, can lead to some kind of negative actions.
Yes, I agree, and I write about that in various chapters, you know, particularly like the midlife marriage, where it's gone on for a while, and basically you treat each other a little bit like pieces of furniture, which I think really leads to a staleness, a deadness, and a lot of temptation to just get out of it. And, you know, that isn't the way to go unless, you know, there's abuse and things. But I think going to the Lord and saying, you know, let me see what's happening in my life right now. What do I need to do to make it come alive and be fruitful and productive and have meaning? Because I constantly go back to, we have one life. Let's live it. Let's not just waste it away in boredom or in things that really have no meaning or value in the long run.
And one of the things I've heard over and over from people is in this stage of their life is, I just don't feel appreciated anymore. And maybe sometimes that's true.
Well, you know, I think that's one of those things that all you can do is, you know, hope that people will appreciate you. And I suppose you could say something. It depends on the circumstances and the individual you're thinking about. But I think you look for things where you will be appreciated. And, you know, underneath it all, we have to say, I'm living before an audience of one. Some things we won't get appreciated. That's just life. But I think we can do other things where people appreciate what we're doing, whether it's a kindness or, you know, giving them a ride or spending time listening to them or going and working in a home shelter or soup kitchen, or just get out there and do something and not be looking for, you know, what am I getting from it? Am I being appreciated? Because that's sort of a pathway to discontent, I think.
There are many times that I feel I'm 37 years old inside. And then I look in the mirror, and it's a bit of a shock. Yeah. And it reminds me of a song from some time ago, "Will You Still Need Me? Will You Still Feed Me When I'm 64? So there are some realities about how we look and our energy level and all these sorts of things that happen as age moves forward.
It does. I mean, there's no denying it. It's not like we're going to have a second sort of 20s with high energy and excitement and all the rest of it. But there can be some very fulfilling things. I think you have to take care of yourself. When you get into midlife, whether it's 40s or 50s or even a bit older, you know, we are more prone to health issues. There's just no two ways about it. I got my mother's diabetes. Yeah. And but instead of sitting and, you know, thinking, oh, this is just terrible, I just decided to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to die before my date of expiration. I wanted to live fully, and that involves some responsibility on my part. And that's, you know, exercise, going to the gym, looking at what you're eating, depending on whatever it is you've got. But yeah. We have to take responsibility for living the best life that we can.
The good news is that I think there has been a transition, even amongst Christians. I remember a number of decades ago where if you talked about maybe you shouldn't eat this or you should start eating that, I had some Christians coming to me and say, well, you know, God created it. For anything you can eat, that's fine. Well, then all of a sudden we discovered questions about cholesterol and things like that. Yeah. And so there is a growth of appreciation for what God has provided for us that can help us in these times.
Well, and the thing is, you know, as every year goes by, there's more and more medical research. Now, ironically, sometimes 5 years after we're told not to eat eggs, we're now told there's no cholesterol problem. I mean, you know, that's just how it is. But research goes on, and we can benefit from it. There's a lot of helpful information out there about taking care of our bodies. But I think even beyond the body is the emotional, social, spiritual need to take care of ourselves.
I know your book is probably particularly directed towards women, but when I came to chapter 5, these children are too old to be mine, and yet I also have a 13-year-old at home, and so I say, well, maybe I'm too old for this stuff, but that's what I got.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you've got them, you've got them. I mean, even if you were 80, you still have to deal with a 13-year-old. But I think understanding that that is for a period of time, and that was what I was trying to get across to women, that your children need to have freedom when they get in their mid to late teens to make some of their choices. While they're home, you can help guide them. But they have this inner urge, like we did when we were that age, mm-hmm. to break free and to become adults and make some of their own choices. And I think for mothers, it's very easy to cling and create problems. So there's a fine line there. But, of course, we're prone to anxiety about the choices our children make, and understandably so, given the culture we live in.
There does seem to be somewhat of a fear that when the children leave home, that all of a sudden mothers say, am I needed at all? You know, am I appreciated as they develop their own families and their own interests? How does one counteract that?
I think you have to stop looking to your children to give you a sense of meaning and purpose. Mm. I think you have to recognize that you do have meaning and purpose and significance in God's eyes as an individual. And then to start praying, thinking, reading, making some notes, doing some of the self-analysis sort of exercises that I actually have in the book that can help you figure out, where are my strengths? What have I learned? What really excites me? And to develop some sort of a life purpose that keeps you going, not a goal where I will do this by, you know, the next 5 years, but what is my overall life about? What do I want to accomplish? Not even necessarily in actual tasks, but what is the theme of my life, the desire of my life ultimately when I look back on it?
As people are living older, and that can be a good thing, but at mm-hmm. the same time, we get put into situations where there's a reversal happens, mm-hmm. and that is now my parents need me as my children used to need me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
how to react to that, and then sometimes we're very frustrated, aren't we? We're not sure what we can do to help or how much we should.
Yes, and again, it's an individual thing, because some parents, older parents, in their 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. 90s, don't want to talk about things. Some people avoid the reality that death is something that happens to all of us. And I've actually spoken to groups of older women and just appeal to them to be understanding of their children who long to help them. And the pain it causes their children when they see, I was talking to women, yeah. their mothers refusing to move into a safer place, refusing to receive their care, and even turning on their, you know, daughters in the middle years. And it's just so sad. And I just appeal to them to understand that they're doing it out of caring, not trying to take over. But, on the other hand, we have to understand that our parents are also struggling with the loss of independence. So there needs to be sensitivity, but I do think we need to talk to our aging parents about what their wishes are and have they written them down and, you know, all those technical kind of things that are very familiar today.
And one of the things you mentioned is that maybe even quite a bit of time before it is actually necessary, we can be prepared.
Yes. Yes. I talked to a nurse gerontologist who advised, she says, try and get the whole family together, all the siblings, and try and not, you know, have somebody say, I'm not coming, because you need to talk about what you're going to do down the road, mm-hmm. and everybody needs to agree. But it is. It's something you need to be talking to your parents about while they're still healthy. That's important.
In Chapter 7 of your book, if you've just tuned in, folks, the book is by Poppy Smith, whom we're talking to, and the book is entitled, I'm Too Young to Be This Old. And on Chapter 7, you're really talking about what all of us have, I suppose, if we begin, as we get older, we think farther back, about regrets, about what if my life had turned this way and our whole lives seem to turn on many times little tiny hinges and decisions. How do we deal with regret or the what could have been?
Well, I think there's two steps. One is to recognize that what happened happened and leaving it in the past. But also, if there's undealt with emotions, we have to deal with them. If there's bitterness, if there's self-hatred, mm-hmm. lack of forgiveness of self, these are all spiritual issues that we need to go to the Lord to talk with. Maybe we need, you know, to talk with a spiritual counselor, whether it's a spiritual director, a more mature friend, a pastor. But we don't want to leave these painful things in the undealt with, because they'll always bring pain every time we think about them. So I think being honest, looking at ourselves, being willing to acknowledge. I think of David in Psalm 51, against you, you only have I sinned. And yes, we sin and hurt other people, but ultimately it's between us and the Lord. And that there is forgiveness, and we need to take it and not continue being bitter towards ourselves or bitter towards someone else. That's a recipe for a miserable old age.
Very, very well said. I also was attracted to Chapter 8, where you're suggesting that sometimes we get into a sedentary situation as we get older and forget that we can get out there and still do and accomplish.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think it's a prime time for doing new things. And I've experienced this. You know, I had my first book was published when I was 50.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I've gone to seminary and got a master's, and I've, you know, done all sorts of things. And I hadn't thought of any of those things till I got to that stage of life. But I just wanted my life to count, and I wanted to learn and keep being a blessing as I minister, you know, through speaking in different places and writing and so on. So it's very important that we recognize now is like a platform from which you can launch into this second adult lifespan that you have. And that's why I think it's so important to to assess, you know, what is built into me, whether it's education, experiences, painful experiences, but what have I learned and what richness is in my life? And then pivot around and say, okay, Lord, where do you want me to invest it? That's what's so important.
On page 103 of your book, you suggest that people need to review their self-talk. And mm-hmm. here are some of the categories. Watch out for negative messages. Does that mean from others or from within ourselves or what?
I think from within ourselves. I mean, of course, you could have had them from your upbringing, from a teacher, a coach, a spouse, or a former spouse, you know, where you were always torn down, told you couldn't do anything, you'd never measure up. And, you know, I worked in a domestic violence shelter for a while, and, you know, women are told things like, you can't survive without me, you can't do without me. And, you know, terrible messages that take a long time to work through. But I think the messages are from ourselves. I can't do that. I had to work with that a great deal because all the things I've done, I never felt equipped to do. But, you know, I've come to a point where I say I'm going to go through open doors that God opens for me. And even though I'm scared stiff, I'm going to trust and do my best. That's all any of us can do is do our best.
You quote the Apostle St. Peter about that spiritual attack will come. Even, you know, sometimes people think they're getting better simply because they don't have the energy to get in trouble. But the spiritual attack does happen, doesn't it, at all ages?
Well, yes. And you know, the seed of spiritual bondage or spiritual freedom is in the mind. I just was speaking on that this past weekend, on if you change your thinking so it's biblical and you tell yourself things that are true in Scripture from God about who you are going to have freedom and faith and growth. But if you believe all these lies, I mean, the enemy just wants to stop us from fulfilling all God has for us, and I think we need to be aware of that.
Are we ever going to grow up? What does that mean there in chapter 9?
Who am I now? That's where I think you stop and you look at all these things and start assessing, where are my strengths? Where are my talents? How have I been shaped by life and by, you know, the abilities that I have and so on? I think that's so important to understand who you are. And so I've given a lot of exercises for self-discovery because mm-hmm. it'll help you formulate, okay, so I'm this kind of person. I need something that is stimulating. I need to be around people. So you're not going to go and spend hours on something where you're, say, stacking shelves and doing something, I'm talking about like volunteer things, mm-hmm. but you know who you are and what you need to be your best. And so I think self-awareness is extremely important in this stage of life.
And you also remind us that we have spiritual gifts given to us by God, mm-hmm. and sometimes we may not have really brought them forth and used them to the abilities God has given us.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we don't know what those are until we start experiencing them. I mean, when I became a teaching leader in Bible Study Fellowship in my 30s, mm-hmm. I had no idea I was to be a teacher or being given a speaking, teaching gift or leadership gift. And what I say to people is, look, if a door opens and you feel that, you know, you're being nudged to go through it, but you stop and say, oh, but I've never done this before. Well, most of us have never done anything before until the first time we do it.
That's
so
true.
It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of being willing to try to do your best and to look to God to help you. And I've done things where it didn't turn out that great. I was a hospital chaplain one time for 3 months, and it was a disaster, at least in my mind. I probably wasn't as big a disaster as I think. But I realized this was not my gifting. And, you know, so I learned, instead of feeling, oh, what a terrible failure, I should never try anything again, I came away thinking, thank you, Lord, now I know that that's not my kind of area.
At the end of each chapter, you have what you call reflections.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that in mind, and also in general, how would you like our listeners, when they get a copy of your book, to use this book?
Well, I really want them to read it through and think about it from their own personal experience and be encouraged to step out and invest their joy and that honors God, and that they can look back 5, 10, 20 years and say, you know, I made some good choices at that stage of my life. It has been fulfilling, exciting, scary, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, instead of just sitting in my armchair and letting the years go by, I use my life for something with great purpose.
The book is I'm Too Young to Be This Old, written by Poppy Smith. Where can people get a copy of this book?
Well, they can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Christian booksellers. They can go to my website, Poppy Smith, just one word, PoppySmith.com. Order it from me if they wish, or they can just get it, you know, online. It's also an e-book.
Poppy, thank you for being with us on Life Quest today.
Thank you, Dwight. I've loved talking to you.
Coming up in future programs of Life Quest are a couple of books I wanted to draw your attention to. One is called The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, an informed response to Islam's war with Christianity. It's by Pastor Erwin Lutzer. I talked to him a few years ago. He's written many, many books, in fact, over 30. He has his own radio programs that are heard worldwide. He's been over 30 years in the church he's pastoring right now. This is a good book, and it's one which Christians are finding information that they are in need of as they end up with neighbors, as they end up with co-workers that are members of the Muslim faith. And he talks about how we can share our faith the best way, and some of the issues that are going on in the religious struggle that's happening around the world, both in reality and in perception. Again, the book is The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent by Erwin Lutzer. I don't know about your children, but when my daughters were very young, they loved the Berenstain Bear books, books that had a good story, a good moral about these bears, and they were very colorful and picturesque. Well, Stan and Jan Berenstain, they introduced the first bear books in 1962. That's a long time ago. Mike, their son, grew up watching his parents work together and write about these lovable bears for children to be read to or read themselves. Well, he began to draw and write himself. And those parents have now passed on. Mike continues to create these delightful bear adventures from his own studio there in Pennsylvania. And a new one has just come out, and I'm going to be talking to Mike very soon. It's the Storybook Bible. It's just the thing for your children or grandchildren, especially if a birthday is coming up or you're looking forward to Christmas already. And you can sort of join the Berenstain Bear family as they read their favorite Bible stories together and imagine what it would have been like to see Adam and Eve in the garden, or Noah building the ark, or listen as Jesus tells the stories to the people. And it's told with, you know, those words and pictures in that Berenstain style. 23 Old and New Testament stories, they'll really come alive for the young readers in your life. Those things coming up on LifeQuest. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37930. I'm Dwight Lainhoff.